I'm Rebecca.
And I'm Kaylin.
And you are tuning in to Sociologic here on CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting live from the very top of Burnaby Mountain.
We're stoked to be your host for the next hour, exploring local and global events using sociological perspectives. Thanks for tuning in.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Sociologic here on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby Campus and Community Radio from Simon Fraser University, where we are broadcasting on the ancestral and unceded homelands of the Halkomelem and Squamish speaking peoples. You can listen online at cjsf.ca or on our radio app, which you can download from the app or Google Play Store. And you can text or call us at 778-782-2573. You can also just visit our website to learn more at cjsf.ca. As I said, I hope you're all having a great evening or a great morning, midday, wherever you are tuning in from. And yeah, I am Rebecca. I am going to be your host for the next hour up until 8 p.m. where Bitcoover will take over with our music coordinator, Connor. And as you all know, I like to start off my episodes with a what are we joyous about, what are we happy about from this past week. And usually I have DJ Coco, aka Corey from Slumber Party, joining me, but I don't today, unfortunately. But it's okay. I can speak about what I've been joyous about, and then maybe you can think about it yourself on the other end. But yeah, I have actually got something really, really exciting that I'm super happy and joyous about is, as a lot of you may know, I am leaving soon, and I have a friend from home, which I'm so grateful for, visiting, and she actually arrived yesterday. So I get to spend 2 weeks with her, showing her around Vancouver and basically just showing her everything that I've seen over here that I've loved. And it's really nice that I get to share it with someone back home. Also, she's someone very near and dear to me, and we've grown up together. Like, we've known each other our whole lives. Our brothers are 2 years older than us, and they met in a preschool, nursery, I guess it's kindergarten over here. But yeah, we've known each other since our brothers became friends, so literally since we were born. And so it's really exciting that I get to kind of share my life with her that I have out here, because I haven't really been able to have anyone back home see it, share it with. I'd like to think I've changed a bit since I came over here, so it's kind of nice for her to see me over here, like the different version of me, I guess. So yeah, that is what I am very joyous and happy about from this past week. I hope you all have something to be joyous about, and if not, that's also okay, but it can also be something super simple. Like, you had a really great dinner the other night. That sometimes is all it takes to bring you some joy. So yeah, and hopefully with the nice weather as well, with it being July now, and that can also be something to be looking forward to and joyous about. But into today's topic, I have kind of an interesting one. It's kind of a half a theory deep dive. If you've been a Sociologic listener for a little bit of time, you'll know that my old co-host Kaylin and I used to do theory deep dives where we break apart a sociological concept or theory. You can listen to those on the Sociologic playlist on the intravenous. God, my brain is fried. I also host Intravenous, so my brain is just oozing out for the two shows. The Sociologic playlist on the cjsf.ca website is what I meant to say. So yeah, this is like half a theory deep dive. I want to go into the concept of national identity and nationalism, kind of looking at the foundations of it, looking at key components to it, some examples, looking how it is linked politically, also how patriotism is involved, because they're all very similar concepts that are interconnected. And I also want to touch a bit on the monarchy in the UK, because that to me is a very prominent form of national identity that I know of, and that is, I guess, related to me since I'm from the UK. And I often get asked about the monarchy over here. I can't even count how many times I've been asked about my opinions on the royal family or my opinions on King Charles or Queen Elizabeth II. So I feel like it's a good topic, like it's a good example and a good topic to bring into this. And then at the end, I do want to touch a bit on how national identity can link to extremism and behavior influence, because I think linking it to what we're seeing in current contemporary society is we are seeing this increase in extremism. We are seeing a lot of, I would say, ultra-nationalistic views and actions happening globally. But I remember when I first came out here, what was happening back in the UK, which I want to touch on, is there was a lot of rioting right when I first came to Canada. So I feel like it's a really good example, and that's just kind of snowballed and spiraled into lots of different events happening just all over the world, where we're seeing this very extremist national identity or nationalism view and a rise in the far right. And I did do some open mics that touched upon this as a topic as well, way back, I would say like October, November time. If you really want to go find them and check them out, please do, under the open mic playlist on the website. But I spoke a bit about the rise in far right in Europe and how we're seeing this trend change, because looking at it politically, even though the UK is now a Labour government and it was a Labour landslide victory from last year, recent polling is seeing a rise in support for Reform, which is the UK's far-right party, and Nigel Farage to become Prime Minister. And the Labour's actually lost a huge heap of support. We had our local elections the other month, and my brother voted on my behalf, but there was a shocking turnout of Reform. Reform gained pretty much all the seats, and Reform has, it used to be the Brexit party and the UKIP party, and it has evolved each time, but they've never had that strong of a foothold in Parliament or that strong of a foothold in local elections. So it's a bit of a scary time seeing all of that happen. We also saw it in France in their elections. There was increased popularity for the far right, again with Germany and the AfD in their elections, and a bigger increase in support for them as well. So we're seeing a global trend of the far right populist ideology getting more and more support alongside an anti-immigration sentiment. So that is kind of the context of why I thought this would be an interesting topic to kind of pull apart here on Sociologic. I'm not going to go in depth on everything that's going on currently and like in the past year of events, because I think that's going to be way over an hour. But I want to kind of speak on the background of what is national identity, where does it differ from nationalism, how does patriotism come into it, and where it has its theoretical foundations from a sociological perspective, because this is Sociologic. The background of my education is in sociology, so I want to bring a bit of that in, hence it's half a theory deep dive. And as always, I have some music to be breaking apart this serious topic, because it is 7 p.m. on a Tuesday and we do not want to be thinking of just heavy stuff. I know I do a lot of heavy episodes for this time slot, and that's not always what everyone wants to be listening to at the end of their days, which I am fully understandable about. So I'm going to put some music in there as well. So I want to start off with the song that, well, this song I played on Intravenous actually last week, and I really enjoyed it, so I want to play it on here. And it's a CanCon FemCon indie folk rock song, and it's called Out of the City by McLean, and it's off of the album Off the Deep End. I really wasn't expecting to like this song as much as I did, but I guess I was surprised. But yeah, I want to share it with you. I hope you will enjoy it as well. And I feel like a great song to follow that up with is a Sociologic resident musical artist, Michaela May, one of my dear friends, and we were very fortunate she came and sang live and did a whole Sociologic episode with me, which is on the website as well. But I love her music. If you're a Sociologic fan, you know that we play her a lot on here. And she has a song that came out at the start of June, which was You Made Me Hate My Favorite Songs, which was an absolute banger of a song. I really suggest you go listen to it. So right after Out of the City, I'm going to play the song Scared of Change by Michaela May off of her album Scared of Change. But first up, we have Out of the City by McLean.
The walls are closing in now, anxiety creeping in. How am I never able to control this? Looks like they laid the path out, conform and follow this route. White picket fence and work my life away. Oh, I don't know why we're half alive, too numb to realize there's a way out of this. Oh, I gotta get out. Again, hood up and earbuds in. I live this day before a thousand times. But working for the weekend don't sit right with my spirit. I wanna make art full heart feel human. Oh, I don't know why we're half alive, too numb to realize there's a way. Box for months now. It's been raining nonstop now. And my apartment is empty, and my friends, they don't get me. And I got this anxiety and these thoughts that won't leave me. I wanna be, I wanna be, I wanna be, I wanna be.
Thank you. stars are alive. I'll listen to your voice sing 1979. We drove the long Sunday nights, smoke in the air, not a care in the world. High up, above it all, everyone's alone, but you're my favorite soul.
Welcome back to Sociologic here on CJSF 90.1 FM, Burnaby Campus and Community Radio from Simon Fraser University. And that was the song Scared of Change by Michaela May off of her album Scared of Change. And then just before that, we heard the song Out of the City by McLean off of the album Off the Deep End, both Canadian and Femcon songs, which is phenomenal. And yeah, let's get straight into the topic of national identity, I guess, to put it in short terms. So I want to start off with being like, what is the concept of national identity and nationalism? Because I feel like they're used interchangeably when they are meaning very different things. So national identity means a sense of belonging to a nation and a shared identity among its members. And it's often characterized by a common culture or language, history, norms and values, things like that. Whereas nationalism is more of a political ideology. It emphasizes national identity, but it seeks more to advance national interests. So yeah, that is essentially what the difference is between national identity and nationalism. Like I said, they are sometimes used, I would say, interchangeably when they mean different things, but I want to go into what the theoretical foundations are to national identity, and I'm going to split it into functionalist, conflict theorists, and symbolic interactionists, as well as looking at the constructivist point of view as well. So if we're going to start with functionalists, functionalists view national identity as kind of a means to create social cohesion and social solidarity. And if you want a more in-depth kind of definition and discussion on that, you can always check out the functionalist theoretical deep dive on the CJSF.ca website under the Sociologic playlist. I'm going to be shamelessly plugging Sociologic previous episodes today, apparently. So yeah, there is a theory deep dive with Kaylin and myself talking more in depth on that. But essentially, yeah, national identity, functionalists view it as a means to create the social cohesion and solidarity, because it fosters a sense of belonging, and it results then in the maintenance of social order, which is kind of what functionalism is all about, is this social order and social hierarchy. So it keeps society functioning. And this is because it provides individuals with a collective consciousness that is binding them to this larger society. And conflict theorists really differ from this. They are like the complete opposite. So when I talk about conflict theorists, I'm talking more about things along the lines of Marxism, neo-Marxism, which we also have a theory deep dive on the sociologic playlist, if you want to check that out. But conflict theorists argue that national identity is more of a tool for social control rather than creating social cohesion and solidarity. They view it more as social control and domination because it can be used by those in power, aka the bourgeoisie, to marginalize and exclude certain groups, which will be reinforcing existing social hierarchies. So from this perspective, they don't view national identity about unity or uniting groups of people, but more about highlighting who belongs and who doesn't. So it's more of a divisive tool of you're included, you're not included. So that's where you can see that they're very polarizing perspectives. And then symbolic interactionists are a bit different. They focus more on this micro level process that is constructing and maintaining national identity. So they kind of, if the way of like, I guess, looking at it is functionalists and conflict theorists, they kind of look at it on a macro level. They look at it on this big scale, whereas symbolic interactionists zoom in on specific processes that do this. So there is more of an emphasis on symbols, language, day-to-day interactions, anything that shapes the individual's perceptions of their identity in the nation. So it's focused much more on fluidity than conflict and functionalist theorists do. So you're looking at how people see themselves within a nation, and it's way more dynamic. And it's also ever evolving because of the interactions and experiences. Whereas functionalists and conflict theorists are much more rigid in their perspectives and views. And then constructivist theorists, they kind of view it not as this like inherent or fixed thing. They view it more as it's socially constructed through a result of historical, political, and social practices. So it is mobilized into existence through symbols, and it's invoked by political leadership, which makes it a product of discourse. So again, very different from functionalist and conflict theorists. And this is because this holds power, as discourses can construct, perpetrate, transform, and dismantle national identities. So there's this real big emphasis on how national identities are ever-changing, similarly to the symbolic interactionists. It's not something that's fixed and there, it's socially constructed. And this applies to so many different things, like there's arguments for gender being a social construction, because it's ever-changing and it's not a fixed thing. But also the constructivist approach has this emphasis on education systems and the media, which is used in shaping a collective self-perception because it recognizes the agency of individuals and groups. So that's kind of like the vague basic outline of the theoretical side to national identity and the foundations of it. And I want to talk about key components to national identity, because there's a lot of components that go into it. There's historical context, cultural elements, political and social factors. One thing you're going to really notice with national identity, it's heavily political. There is consistent political connotations in it. National identity and politics work hand in hand. Same with patriotism and nationalism. They go hand in hand, which is also what I said I want to talk about later, because they're so linked. And I did a module last year at my university called Political Psychology, and so much of it was talking about national identity, and you look at politicians' speeches and how they use the words of like us, we, them as this unifying concept, and then you put that with the backdrop of like the flag of the nation, and suddenly you have this whole politician based around national identity. And a great example would be the president of the United States currently, Mr. Donald Trump. You can see it very clearly with how he campaigns, and if you can find like information and clips
on the internet that really break this apart and is quite interesting because it's not just him. There are a lot of people that do it. Another big one would be the Brexit Party and the Brexit referendum campaigning, which I'm going to talk about a bit later as well. That is riddled with national identity symbols and things like that in campaigning. But yeah, before I kind of delve into that, because I've just kind of done a backdrop of the concept and the theoretical foundations, I'm going to play another song because I'm really feeling music today. I'm feeling musical. And I have this song that I have played before, but I do really love it. And it is the song People Watching by Sam Fender off of his latest album, People Watching. It's kind of a long song, but I really love it. I think it's a great song. And I know he played in Vancouver, I think it was back in April, and I missed it. I'm so annoyed because he's very much not as well known over here, but it would have been so much cheaper for me to see him in Vancouver than it would be to see him back home. So yeah, I hope you guys all enjoy. This is People Watching by Sam Fender.